Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus. Welcome, everyone. It's great to be back on air with you, and this edition is going to focus largely on what's happening nationally with Grey Power, because I've just returned from the annual general meeting, and this time held in Blenheim, and it was a most inspiring AGM, because I saw and heard unity from right throughout the country on a number of key topic areas. So those is what I'm going to talk about and share with you just some of the flavour of where Grey Power's at nationwide. Sometimes people say, well, what's Grey Power doing? And this is what we heard, what the Federation Board is doing, what policies it's presenting to the new government, and also with the remits that were passed from associations around the country, there was a great strength of quality of debate. I was really impressed with the high standard of the debate, and I'll share with you some of those topic areas that came up in the remits that are going to be taken forward and dealt with by the Federation. So welcome to the show. For those of you who aren't familiar with Grey Power, we've been around 30 plus years and we are a lobby group and advocacy group, but we are interested in the well-being of seniors. So that's a wider spectrum than just advocacy and lobbying of government. And indeed, our work up and down the country on age-friendly communities and age-friendly cities is growing apace, and that was something that was evident at the conference. So that's very much addressing the quality of life that goes on in day-to-day living that's affected by council decisions. And it's very interesting to see in Blenheim, where there's quite a strong senior population, the council is very much catering for them with free buses locally, not just a gold card subsidy from the government, but additional to that. Footpaths are wide and easy to negotiate. I didn't strike any broken footpaths at all in my walks. And signage was very good. The facilities in the town were excellent. And the RSA and the Marlborough Club and the Civic Centre are all wrapped up in a large building where we spent most of the time there. So it was impressive. And I think those seniors who've chosen to retire in that area of Blenheim, where there's 20,000 in the town and another 20,000 in outlying areas, they're very well catered for, and it was very impressive. So moving back to the conference itself and the AGM, probably the most surprising thing of all was the guest speaker from Pulse Energy. Grey Power Electricity, for those of you who may not know, is a deal that Grey Power has brokered with Pulse Energy to get low users cheaper power. And they have sort of been working on a supplementary deal, which will be cheaper broadband. But most of all, the long-term strategy to put solar panels on roofs. Basically, you rent your roof for a cheaper power deal. And so that is very appealing to those people who own their roofs and have the luxury of staying put for a lengthy period of time. It means they'll be able to ensure that they can not only have cheaper power, but there's also a possibility of a battery add-on, which means you'll be able to store the solar power and use it in the night time when your costs are heavier. So it's very exciting to see that Grey Power Electricity is influencing the whole of the electricity market, having an impact on pricing. I noticed that Meridian have brought out a naked power price, and their daily rate on that is especially for low users, and it's only a tad above what Grey Power Electricity charges. So what we're seeing is Grey Power Electricity leading the market and influencing the market, and that's what we always intended with the setup of that. So hearing from Gary Holden, the CEO of Grey Power Electricity, was really exciting, the CEO of Pulse as well. We look forward to those deals, and we look forward to being able to announce them, you know, when they're a reality in due course. Now, another area that was really exciting was the 50 plus area, because every association recognises that they must broker a new membership with people 50 plus to 65, because that is the age group that's going to carry Grey Power forward in the future. And so having those people on board is very important, but they are very busy people. They're working. They're often looking after aged parents, or they still have teenagers at home. So they don't have a lot of time. They're time poor, but they're people that do have an interest in how they're going to retire, how they're going to afford to retire, and where they will retire to, and so on. So they are interested in the electricity, and they're interested in some of the other things that we are brokering or working on. So the Federation now is charged with finding a suitable strategy to help associations with their membership drive. Another area that's of real interest is what's happening with the phasing out of cheques. We know that banks want to get rid of them. They're very costly for the banks, and they can do transactions much cheaper in other ways. So KiwiBank is suddenly proposing to charge $1 per cheque, $15 for a chequebook, and $15 for a deposit book. So that's going to be very expensive for those people who bank with KiwiBank and who use cheques, and that's quite a number of Grey Power people. So that's something that we are now very aware of, those of us who weren't aware of it before, and it's something that the Federation is going to have to take up very hotly and strongly with KiwiBank, also urgently, because if KiwiBank bring this in and get away with it, other banks could follow suit and it could become the norm. Now, for a lot of people who've done away with cheques, they sort of think, well, what does it matter? But for many people who are not online banking, who don't have a computer, who are used to a particular style of doing business with the banks, want control of their money, it's quite important to them. So it'll be up to the Federation to broker that conversation with KiwiBank. Another area of concern, of course, was National Super. And apart from some of the inadequacies of the current level of super and how that might be addressed, other debates centred on removing Section 70 from the Act. Now, Section 70 deals with a whole raft of anomalies with people who get their can draw on an overseas pension. But it affects people when they marry, because if they marry someone who has one of these overseas pensions, they may find their own super is severely deducted and curtailed. Some women have found themselves particularly poverty-stricken in this situation. They may not have been aware when they married a certain person that that person was actually having an overseas pension that was going to affect their own entitlement to super. So we have passed a remit there that will actually address this, and we'll ask the government to look at this area virtually immediately, because it's so urgent. There's so many gross cases of abject poverty, of people trapped in very difficult circumstances. Housing and health were probably the other two key areas that featured mostly in the debate and in the remits. And the Auckland Association had put up a remit on housing. We wanted affordable housing. We wanted attention being put by the government in its new housing program into one- and two-bedroom homes, where there is a gross shortage, particularly in the market at the moment. And I'm pleased to say that although we withdrew the remit because there was another almost identical remit put up by another association, I was able to speak to the remit and received a standing ovation. And that's an indication, I think, of the depth of concern throughout the country and the willingness of the country to recognise the Grey Power membership, to recognise this as a serious issue. There's probably never been such a widespread housing crisis, and it affects seniors as much as any other group in the population. Of course, there's still the 90-day eviction issue, which is affecting older people. I still get cases where people are 80 plus and they're getting put out. And that 90 days is not long to find an alternative accommodation that they can afford. In fact, many of them come to Grey Power when they're desperate, when they've tried other avenues and everything's failed. And it may be day 84 by that stage and they've lost 10 kilos. And they're very anxious and not sleeping. So this is such a difficult area because it doesn't require any evidence about your ability as a tenant to keep the place nice or to pay the rent or anything like that. No criteria used. It's just 90 days flat out. So that I understand that the current government is working on this and there is a plan afoot to make it mandatory for evidence to be gathered and solid reasoning why tenants need to be moved, apart from people wanting to move into their own place that they own for themselves. So I think that that's probably summarised all the main things. Health, of course, I did say was an issue, and there were in particular three areas: the caregivers needing respite care and also people being entitled to respite care who are independently looking after themselves but struggling and needing a break from managing all their medications and all their responsibilities in housekeeping and so on. And those are with particular difficulties around degeneration of their eyes, like macular degeneration, cataracts, and teeth. People who've lost a lot of teeth and it's affecting their health, whether it's putting them at risk of stroke or heart disease or whatever. These are areas of grave concern because they're not being dealt with adequately in the health system. Unless you can go privately, you can usually end up losing your sight or more teeth or your health generally because you're not getting the appropriate treatment. So I think that overall it was a great opportunity for people to come together to debate and consolidate ideas, and the Federation is well set up now to go forward with a strong mandate from all the associations that were represented there. And there are 75 in New Zealand currently. So it's a pretty strong movement, and I think it's fair to say that there were about 20 individuals under the age of 70 who hold strong positions within their associations who are very keen to see long-term improvements for seniors and who are working hard on those within their own areas. So that's different from 2012 when I attended my first AGM in Invercargill, and I think there were only five of us under the age of 68 at that stage. So there is a movement of younger people coming forward, and we're just hoping that will be strengthened. I'd like us to enjoy a track that I've chosen, and it's in Te Reo, and just a nod, I guess, to our Indigenous roots in this country, and I hope you enjoy it. It's a tune you'll recognise.
Tahera
Welcome back, and this time I've got to a little bit more to say just about the theme from the AGM, and there was a strong indication that people were very concerned about the future of their children and their grandchildren. Discussion about international trade treaties and sovereignty, discussion about quality of life, crime, safety, and discussion about what can be passed on in a legacy? How can grandchildren be helped, and what conditions in society really are essential for the well-being of the next generation? So that was part of the discussion and the debate as well. And I came across an article this week that talked about remarkable new research that found that grandparents who looked after their grandchildren survived 5 years longer than those who didn't. And this was published last year, and it's the first of its kind in the world that shows such a link. So there's a growing body of research also showing that caregiving activity, whether you do it for something for someone and expect nothing in return, doesn't matter who they are, that this has significant health benefits. And this research team found 516 elderly Germans were participating in a long-term health study. Of that group, 80 said that they regularly cared for their grandchildren, and after controlling for other variables, including age and health, the team found caregiving grandparents lived significantly longer than non-caregiving grandparents. And I think this is really, really interesting. So sometimes people may feel tired out and worn out by the role and stressed by the role of caregiving for the grandchildren, but they may not realise that ultimately it's keeping them alive and it's nourishing them in an indirect way. A similar thing has been found through volunteering, and studies show that volunteers live longer and live happier lives. Again, because there's something about the motive when you're focused on other people's well-being. Perhaps you're less inclined to morbidly worry and catastrophize about yourself. But also it may be simply that you've got a reason to get out of bed in the morning. It really does act as a motivator. So I encourage you to think about having a stronger relationship with your grandchildren. Think about how you can actually do exciting things together. Intergenerationally, youth have a lot to offer and vice versa. So we are trying to do more of this within our own association, and I'm also an advocate at our board, the local board, Pokita Tāpapa, for the same reason. I'm trying to get more generation happening, more intergenerational things happening between youth and seniors and youth. Now, coming up, I usually give you some updates, and this time there is another consultation coming through involving the council family. It's the Auckland Transport consultation on the regional long-term plan. It was going to be part of the council's long-term plan consultation, then it wasn't, then it was, then it wasn't. But anyway, it's coming up and it's coming out delayed. So the information comes out on the 30th, Monday of and the following week from now. And then we'll have 2 weeks to actually organise our response and whatever we're going to say back in response to this regional long-term plan for transport. And it's been delayed partly because of the new government having a different set of priorities, and it's being delayed partly because AT had prepared something for the other government, which was cutting back on walking and cycling and so on, and now they're having to readdress and look at public transport in a more robust way. We as an association will put in a submission, but I encourage you all to get involved, because people are telling me the buses don't go where I want them to go, there aren't enough bus shelters, I have to stand in the rain too often, I don't like the state of the footpaths, they aren't making places safe enough, there's not enough good enough lighting at night, you know, all sorts of reasons why people don't use public transport, quite apart from the fact that the service doesn't arrive when it's supposed to. So go to your public library, go to your nearest library and ask the librarian, say you want to read what has come out from Auckland Transport on their regional long-term plan, and you want to make a submission. And you should be able to make it in the library and post it in the library for free, or you could make it online and, again, the librarian could help. So that's something to really look at doing in the first 2 weeks in May. I think that we're making another program, and I'll be talking to you again on Sunday the 29th. So, again, I won't have the material at that stage, but I may be able to say something on my first program in May, which may alert you as to what the issues are. I'm not clear myself what they're going to say, so I can't give you any heads up at the moment. Now, we've got Anzac Day coming up on the 25th, and this time, intergenerational stuff is featuring in the Puke Tāpapa local area. The youth panel of the board are going to take up a wreath, and Auckland Grey Power Association will take a wreath up at that same ceremony. We know that there are members, of course, going to a number of different Anzac functions, and some will be at the Dawn service and some will go to services at retirement villages, and some will go to local services in places across the Central Isthmus. Wherever you are on Anzac Day, it is a time to think about what actions can be put in place for peace, because actually, although we acknowledge and celebrate those who sacrificed during war, and there is an exhibition on in Wellington specifically looking at the contribution of women during the war, because it's the 125th anniversary of the suffragettes, they have decided to look at women's contribution during the war. And it's a very good exhibition and worth looking at. And also you can put it into Google and you'll see something about it there. But the most important thing is that we do focus on peace, and that peace doesn't happen by accident. It happens by design, by deliberate effort, by examining thoughts, by monitoring ourselves. Sometimes when we might choose to be creating conflict, we need to think about, is there another way here? Is there another way that I can let go and move on? Is there a way I can give feedback assertively without being aggressive? So how we conduct ourselves, really, we're in charge of ourselves and we have control of ourselves. And that's a really important ingredient to creating peace in society. But it's also important that we show leadership in a way to issues, to strengthen peace. So I want to finish with a track from Susan Boyle, which is a prayer for peace, and it's well known, but I actually think that it's fitting as a way of recognising all those who've worked for peace, and whether they sacrificed lives or whether they're still going, whatever their contribution, we acknowledge it. Thank you. This is the end of today's session, and I thank you for listening, and I look forward to being with you again following Sunday, and keep safe and do celebrate with your family around Anzac. Thank you.